Miss Libby Davis has a word that Lord's given her during worship, so let's just be open and listen.
Y'all just stay in the spirit. While they were singing Waymaker, I kind of lost track of the words, and I heard this in my spirit: fulfiller of dreams. And he said, that's who I am, fulfiller of dreams. Some of you were really never raised to know you could dream. Others dared to dream, but things didn't go right, and you stopped dreaming. But the Lord said, go ahead and dream.
Come on.
He said it just that way. Go ahead and dream, because I am the fulfiller of dreams.
Woo, well, I like that. Go ahead and dream. Praise God. Somebody may need to help her back to her seat. She's kind of, man, it's awesome. Thank you, Jesus. Wow. Well, I'm glad that y'all showed up this morning. I think some people are scared away by the storms this morning or something. But we spoke to them last night, and we said it's going to be awesome today. Jennifer, come up and share what the Lord's put on your heart. Hallelujah. This is my wife, Jennifer. We just celebrated 30 years of marriage this past week. So, and it gets better every day. Amen.
And I just had to wear white today, so I didn't care about the rain. Well, anyway, I had one thing, but the Lord changed it this morning, and basically it's just Psalms 46:10. I believe that's correct. Let me make sure. Where it says, be still and know that I am God. I mean, every song this morning was just that way. A revealer of who God is. I mean, he's amazing. To be still, you know, to just relax. Just to cease from doing it your way, okay? I'm trying to find the definitions. Let it go. Leave it alone. But I love the fact that it proceeds, be still and know, okay? With what the series that Mark's been teaching about righteousness and it being a foundation of knowing. I mean, it is the beginning of the understanding of who God is. Yeah. It is just the beginning of knowing how good He is. Mm-hmm. So be still, and when you understand about your righteousness through Him, then that is when you begin to know Him.
Amen.
So just have your hearts open and your ears open and just be ready to receive.
Praise God. Amen. It's a good word. Be still and know. You know, Jesus said this in John chapter 17. He said, this is eternal life. You know, we think eternal life is going to heaven. But He said, this is eternal life, that they may know you and your Son Jesus Christ whom you sent. In other words, that we experience eternal life. The moment that you give your heart to God, the moment that you are saved, the moment that you yield to Him, eternal life starts at that moment. Eternal life, sometimes we have this idea that it starts when we get to heaven. No, it starts, eternity was born in you. You were born into eternity. And so now you've got the free flow of His love, of His grace, of eternity working in you. Even as we sang that song, your love, you know, your love never fails and never gives up. You know, the whole thing about the love, it's one thing to think about the fact, yes, God loves me, He'll love me forever. But God's love isn't a love like our love. I'm not getting into the message yet. I still have some announcements, but get this. God's love isn't like our love. Okay? Our love, we can love people through pain. We can love people through their problems, and we can tell them that we love them. But God's love is a love that is in action. It is a love that rescues you from the pain. It is a love that rescues you from death. It's a love that rescues you out of temptation and out of trial. It's a love that causes you to experience victory. The Bible says, now thanks be unto God who always leads me into triumph. Somebody say always.
Always.
He is always leading you to a place of experiencing victory in every area of your life. And so we get to rest in Him and allow Him to lead and to follow and to be still and to know that He is God. There is a place that you move from believing to knowing. Paul said, I know in whom I have believed. I started out believing, but guess what? Now I'm to this place of experiencing, and I'm to this place of knowing. Your life should be a life that you experience Him.
Amen.
That you know Him, that He's not distant, that He's ever abiding and present with you, and that you have this intimate relationship with the Father every day. Amen. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, Jesus said, seek first. That not second, not third, not if you have time, not if you're not too tired when you come home for work, but seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all of these things will be added to you. Now, the reason for that is because everything that you need is found in the kingdom of God. Every resource that you need is found there. It's found with an establishment of righteousness. If we look at Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 55, in verse 7, it says, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and He will have mercy on him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. God goes on to say, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways. What is He saying? I've got to forsake my way of thinking, and I need to come up to His way of thinking. Okay? So you're not going to change the course in your life if you don't change the way that you think, if you don't change the way that you believe. You'll only experience the goodness of God, and you'll only experience what His provision and His love for your life to the point that you believe. What you believe is what you'll experience. A lot of you have been conditioned by your past, by your upbringing, by disappointment to fear the worst. Even when good things are happening, I'm just saying this, I believe, by the Spirit of the Lord. Even when good things have happened in your life, there is this fear on the inside of you that it's not going to last. That I'm going through a season that's good, but there's going to be another season of rain in my life. There's going to be another difficult time. At some point, the other shoe is going to drop. Something bad is going to happen in my life. And so sometimes people are conditioned not to even be able to enjoy the good times and the goodness because they're too fearful of something that's going to happen. Job said, the thing that I greatly fear has come upon me. You know, when Jesus was walking with Jairus, and I think Wendy mentioned that during worship, when Jesus was walking with Jairus, he had faith. Listen to this. I love this, man. Jesus is always about trying to raise up your expectation. Amen. He's always about trying to not just meet you where you're at, but saying, come on, you can come further. That's what this word was. It's time to dream again. I'm telling you what, because God's He's the fulfiller of your dream. Jairus could only believe that while his daughter was still alive, that Jesus could heal the sickness. He comes and he says, my daughter lies at the point of death. If you will come and lay your hands on her, she will be healed. Come. And so Jesus said, I'll come. And so they're walking down the road and got interrupted on the way. And then after the interruption, then somebody comes to Jairus and says, your daughter's dead. It's too late. Don't trouble the master any longer. Man, if you have a child and if you had hung your hope, this desperate hope, you know, Jairus was part of the religious and the political class that didn't like Jesus. They persecuted him. They disagreed with him. They didn't like what he did. But let me tell you something. When you're desperate, when you need a miracle, it doesn't matter right now. I remember Jennifer's mother Man, when she got a hold of faith and when she got a hold of praying and believing God for the things that he had promised, they lived in a little town in Bluntsville, you know, one stoplight. Everybody knew everybody's business. And so her mom was considered the kind of the crazy one, the weird one in town when she was, you know, because, you know, she believed in the Holy Ghost. As a matter of fact, you know, her and a few of her friends got kicked out of the Methodist church when they started believing in the Holy Ghost. The Methodist church needs to realize John Wesley, who started the Methodist church, was a Holy Ghost filled man. Need to go back to some of their roots, right? But so she was kind of the outcast because, you know, I mean, she actually believes that God heals and she believes that God will do these things. But guess who they called when they got sick? Like, they could gossip and they could talk about her, but I'm telling you what, at the time in their greatest need, they also knew that every prayer she prayed, God answered. I'd rather be known as a person that believes God and that God answers than to try to fit in with some religious system or some cultural mindset to gain the approval from people. Man, we want to elevate people. We want to be like Jesus. We are Jesus walking on the earth. Hallelujah. We are his hands. We are his feet. And we want to help them and elevate them to move away from wrong thinking to a new way of thinking, to a new way of believing, because the just, the righteous will live by faith. It's not just every now and then I'm going to turn the switch on and I'm going to use my faith in this one moment. No, it's a lifestyle. I get to believe God in every single area of my life, and to the degree that I trust him and to the degree that I believe him will be the degree that I experience in my life. And so Jairus is sitting there and he hears this word, your daughter's dead, it's too late. You have a choice. When they tell you it's too late, you can choose to believe imperfect human beings that have no clue what they're talking about because they can only operate in this natural sphere, or you can choose to believe the creator of the universe, the one who he declares the end from the beginning, he speaks the truth, and that what he speaks in the spirit realm has the ability, and the word of God has the ability to change every situation in your life. As soon as Jesus heard those words, recognizing those words were sent to produce fear in the man's heart, to get him to move away from what he believed, Jesus instantly turned to him and said this, "Be not afraid, only believe." Don't be afraid, only believe. I believe that's a word for somebody this morning. Whatever's happening in your life, whatever's happening in your business, whatever's happening in your family, whatever you have projected out, whatever you thought could happen, you know, perhaps they at your work, they're saying that there could be a layoff. They're saying that, you know, if you're a temp worker, perhaps you're watching by live stream and you have a temporary position and your contract is about to come up. And so you don't know what you're going to do. If that's you, you can either let the unknown future affect your heart and allow fear to come in, and the moment that you do, you have just disconnected from the flow of victory, from the flow of his provision, and from the flow of grace into your life because you've allowed fear to capture it. It's the same way, we'll get to some scripture here in a moment, but I just really believe that right now the Spirit of God wants to minister in this way. It's just like Peter when he stepped out on the boat. Peter, do you think that Jesus was upset when Peter said, "Lord, if that bid you, bid me come"? No, I think Jesus is like, finally, somebody is willing to step out of the boat. And, you know, and he probably had a clue that Peter was going to mess up. But let me tell you something. I think that it's no different than the way that we are with our children. Put them on a bicycle, try to help them. We don't get angry with them when they fall off the bicycle. What do? We encourage them to get back up. We love it when they stretch out. We love it when they try new things. We want to encourage them to grow. We don't want them to live bound by fear. We want them to step out and to do and to try. And Jesus is the same way. And so Peter's there walking on the water. And I want you to notice that as long as he kept his eyes right there on Jesus, the source of his faith, the Bible says, we look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. I keep my eyes on him. Why? Because Jesus is the one that's already conquered. Come on. We're more than the conqueror. He's the conqueror, but I'm more than a conqueror because he's turned around and he's handed me his victory. Like everything that we celebrate for the next week is what Jesus did and then turned right around and just brought me right into his victory and the life that he lives right now. Right now. And so as we look to him, as we see him, as we focus on him, he's the author and he's the developer and he's the finisher of my faith. And my faith gets strengthened and it gets empowered and it gets stronger and stronger. It says that the path of the righteous gets brighter and brighter. The more that I look to the morning sun and to the rising star, that morning star, Jesus himself, the more I look to that, I see him. There's a scripture in 1 John chapter 4. That says that when we see him, like when he comes back, and don't make no mistake, he's coming back. And it's sooner than you think. And we have this hope that he's coming back, but it says that we will be changed in that moment. And the reason that we'll be changed in that moment, get this, is because it says we will be like him, for we shall see him as he is. It doesn't mean that God's going to do the changing. It doesn't mean that Jesus is going to show and then all of a sudden the Holy Spirit says, okay, now that Jesus is here, boom, I've changed you, I changed you, I changed you, and boom, 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 boom. And then all of a sudden the Holy Spirit does his work. That's not what it is. He says that we shall be like him. Why? Because we will see him as he is. And the truth of the matter is what is the revelation of Jesus that we have, what we see about him. If you will accept this for yourself, you have been made like him. You have been created in the same. He's the firstborn from the dead. And our destiny, according to Romans chapter 8, is to be conformed to the image, is to be like him, is to let him be demonstrated and let him be put him on display in our life. And so the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 3:18 that we are changed as we look into the perfect law of liberty, as we're looking into that freedom, as we're looking into who Jesus is, we're seeing ourselves being reflected in him. As we talk about righteousness, there's a scripture there, and we'll read it here in a moment, that our hearts, that we must be established in righteousness. There was never a moment in Jesus' life. There's never a moment that he walked with an unworthy mindset. There's never a moment that he walked and he said, you know, I don't know if I prayed enough yesterday. Oh, man, I don't know. Should I have fasted this week? I'm not entirely sure. I'm not sure if I've... He never doubted who he was. Amen, he says. He never questioned who he was. As a matter of fact, what he did, his first day of ministry... Let me show you how serious he was about identity. In his first day of ministry, he stood up in church of his time. He opened up, they gave him the book of Isaiah. He opened it up and it says he found the place in it where it was written concerning him. He found himself in Scripture. And he let what the Word said about him be his identity and be what's true about him. You know what he did not do? Check this out. He did not do what we have done. He just came out of the Mount of Temptation. He had just came out of 40 days and nights of being tempted by the devil, you know, and defeated the devil with the Word of God. It is written. It is written. Don't ever try to defeat the devil with your own feelings. Well, I don't feel that way or whatever. Your feelings will lie to you. But the Word of God is true forever. Let every man be a liar. Let God be true and every other thing, every person be a liar, right? But you know what he did not do? He didn't show up on church and say, guys, let me tell you what just happened for the last 40 days and 40 nights. Okay? I was out there. I was fasting. I was praying. And then all of a sudden, the devil came. And the devil started attacking me. And this is what he said. And so I defeated him. And then he said this. And then he took me to a mountain. And then he didn't recount what had just happened and let that be what created his identity or his platform for ministry. Come on. Sometimes we want to use our experience as a platform to talk to people when what we need to be doing is use the identity and what God has said about us in the Word of God as our platform to be able to speak to people. You talk to people about what's true about you. Jesus found his identity and said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has anointed me to heal the brokenhearted, the opening of prisons to those that are bound, the recovering of sight to those that are blind, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. You are moving into a year that God accepts you unconditionally. God loves you unconditionally. It is an eternal year of jubilee where freedom has come eternally into your life. Hallelujah. Amen. And so you operate from this place. So as we're talking about righteousness, you operate from who God has said. What did God has said about you? What has God said? Amen. And so Jesus said to Jairus, let me finish. Peter walking on the water. Peter's walking on the water, walking on the water, walking on the water. He looked around, got his eyes off of Jesus, and the Bible says he began to sink. What I want you to notice there is that fear gripped his heart. He became afraid, the Bible says, and the fear alone was enough to cause him to start sinking. This is the reason why Jesus said, don't be afraid, only believe. To Jairus. Jairus, I need you to believe. Jairus, don't shut off. See, the Bible says that Jesus is full of grace and full of truth. And so right there, and the grace of God, look, that is everything that God has now made freely available to you. Romans chapter 8 says that if God did not withhold his only son from us, but gave his son up for us, how will he not freely give us all things? This gospel, this good news, it's the most amazing news ever. That we can be adopted by the King. That we now have an inheritance along with everybody else forever. That we are now cleansed. That we are washed. That we are pure in His sight. And that purity, that righteousness is what releases salvation into our lives. That's what releases us. That's what releases salvation into our lives. Hallelujah. Go back and check on Melanie. I think that. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Father, we just pray right now for Melanie's family. We just thank you right now for peace and for comfort in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we as a church family, we just lift her up. And we just thank you right now for leading her, for guiding her in the situation that just happened in Jesus' name. We thank you that there will be a strength there in the name of Jesus to minister and to speak. And Father, that you'll be glorified in everything right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And we thank you for a new life. And we thank you for the resurrection life in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I have an idea what it's about. It's not important, but I just thought that us as a church, Amen. You know, that's what we want to do. We're family here, and we're going to pray and lift each other up. Amen. 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 All right, so where was I? Who's paying attention? Where was I? Because I don't know. I wasn't paying attention to myself. Jairus, right? Be not afraid. Only believe. He gave us Jesus. He gave us everything. What you believe, you experience. Can't get past that right now. I can't get past this. I can't get past this. Where you're at right now, what you're experiencing in your life right now, listen to me. I'm going to make a statement that's strong and that's bold. Where your life is right now is a reflection of what you have believed. Where your life is right now is a reflection of what you have believed. And so Jairus, oh, I know what I was saying. Jesus is the one that's, he's got everything in him, every supply, every need. He's got the healing. He is the source. He is the Prince of Life. The Prince of Life, the source of life, is standing right there. Listen, John, come here for a second, man. He's standing right there. Yeah, no, just right here. Here's Jesus, okay? I'm Jairus. I have the creator of the universe, the one that's got healing, the one that's got life, right here, right now. I'm going to make a statement that's probably going to rankle some people a little bit. But presence, the presence of God,
come on,
doesn't set people free. The truth sets people free. Jesus didn't say, you'll continue in my presence and my presence will set you free. He said, if you're going to be my disciples, indeed, you'll continue in the truth and you'll know the truth and it will set you free. Jesus' presence was right there with Jairus, yet he had to tell Jairus, don't be afraid. Because if Jairus let fear grip his heart, just because Jesus' presence was here would not have produced the healing and the miracle that he needed. He's right here, but he still needs faith to connect with what Jesus is able to do to release the power of God in his life. So what I want to say, thank you so much. I wanted you to see that even in the close proximity, because sometimes we get this mindset that Jesus is far away and we need to try to believe him into us and all this kind of stuff. No, he is present with us, in us right now. But the thing is the kingdom of God is sitting there fully embodied in your spirit, man, completely joined to Jesus. He that is with the Lord is one spirit. Praise God. But the fact of the matter is we need to get our hearts in line with that. We need to start believing that with the heart, man believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And so Romans chapter 5 verse 17, check this out. Let's pull that up on screen. This is one of my favorite scriptures ever. Romans chapter 5 verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, because of what Adam did, death came in, ruled over our life. Much more. Somebody say much more. Much more those that receive abundance of grace. Those that receive everything that Jesus has done. Those that receive everything about him and what his death accomplished. What his resurrection accomplished. Those that receive it. And. Somebody say and. And. This free gift of righteousness. It's just free. It's a gift. Because if I have to earn it, then it's not a gift. Hey, Olivia, I've got you a birthday gift. Can you come over and clean my house so that I can give it to you? She's laughing real loud. She's like, ain't no way I'm going to do that. It's not a gift. It's a free gift. Righteousness is a free gift. But those that receive it, those that don't try to earn it, those that aren't trying to keep going for it, they will reign in life through Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask this question. What do you believe? I'm going to take it a step further. who do you believe? See, Abraham was strong in faith. So I want to encourage you, first of all, this morning, just by the Spirit of God, because I had no intention to talk about these things, is that if you're facing something in your life right now, you need to listen to what the Word of Jesus is to you right now. Don't fear. Don't fear. Don't let fear come into your heart. You need to guard your heart with all diligence. I'm just hearing by the Spirit of God. Don't let fear come in. If you're dealing with something, a sickness in your body, if you're dealing with something that you've not been able to seem to get healing for, whatever that is, and Satan would try to come with a thought to you and to say, look, this is going to end up killing you. Or you might hear the word cancer, or you might hear the word heart disease, or you might, and you let fear come in to try to take you off of what the Word of God says. I'm going to tell you something. God loves you so much that He provided every remedy that you need. And so your responsibility, the Bible says we have access into all provision, access into grace through faith. My responsibility as a believer is to believe God. Not just say, that sounds good. It's all good up here. No, I want down here in my heart to believe what God has said. To trust God. The Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 4, it says that perfect love casts out all fear. Perfect. So how can I deal with fear? How can I deal with fear? I'm going to give you a couple of things. This is this okay this morning? I'm just, the Lord's wanting to deal with some things. So we're just, forget the notes. It's okay. Perfect love cast out fear. That's in 1 John chapter 4, maybe somewhere around. Somebody could look it up for me. I'd like for you to look this up. Let's start, verse 10 or so. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be a propitiation for our sins. I want you to see right off the bat is it starts with God's love towards us, not my love towards God. All right, we'll just work our way down. Next verse. Beloved, if God so loved us, and so what He's trying to do is He's trying to get paint a picture of how much God loves us. He loved us that much, then we ought to at least have that same love one for another. Keep going. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us and His love has been perfected in us. Next verse. By this we know that we abide in Him and He in us because He has given us of His Spirit. Man, I'd love to talk on about that. We have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in Him and He in God. Man, that's enough to say hallelujah right there. And we have known and believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. It's getting even better. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Let me pivot to righteousness for just a moment. That we may have boldness in the day of judgment. What God's love has done for us is has completely, look, Jesus said, I will draw all judgment to myself. He took every one of your sins, every one of your judgments, everything that you deserved. Christ took it all and turned right around and gave you His perfect righteousness, gave you His perfect innocence, that as innocent as Jesus is, that's what He has given to you. The reason I can say that, I want you to get this picture, is because the way that Jesus sees us, the way that God sees us, is we are in Christ. Amen. We are in Him. And whatever's true about Him is true about you. And so it says, love has been perfected among us in this, that I can have boldness in the day of judgment. Amen. I asked this question at our small group on Monday. Made people think. If you knew, if I had a vision from God and I stood here and I told you with absolute certainty that tonight at 5 o'clock, we're going to all stand before the judgment seat of God. Boom, this is over and you are there right now at the judgment seat of the throne. And it's going to happen at 5 o'clock today. And I proved it to you. And you were convinced. It's going to happen. What's your first thought? What's your first thought? If you think about that, really and truly, most of the people's like, I'm going home and I'm repenting right now of everything that I know of between now and then to make sure everything's good, everything. I want to make sure that I'm completely right. And so, see, we're still, you know, if you have that mindset, you know, and or I'm just going to do it to be on the safe side. My response is, bring it on, baby. Bring it on. Jesus is my intercessor. Jesus was the propitiation for my sin. Jesus is the one that took all of that. And I am in the Lamb's Book of Life. Thank you, Jesus. And I have been washed and I am holy and I am clean, not because of what I've done, but because of what Jesus has done. And I just believe in what He's done. And that belief has caused righteousness to work in my life. And so as a result, yes, it did set me free from sin. So I don't sin anymore. What? You can't say you don't sin. Well, okay. I don't sin. How about that? Now, listen, I don't think about it. I just don't. Because He has so transformed me, He set me free. Yeah, but not, you know, everybody sins every now and then. And see how we're so sin conscious and we think about that and we're so focused on making mistakes instead of focusing on the new creation. You know, most of our, let me finish this real quick. We have boldness in the day of judgment. Why? Here it is. Because as He is, so are we in this world. Now, this is the Bible, guys. This isn't me. It's not something I've just come up with. We're reading the Word of God here. I have boldness in the day of judgment for this reason. As He is right now, so am I right now in this world. That's good news. Here's the problem. Most people will not believe this verse. They still want to see themselves as a sinner saved by grace. Look at verse 18. So there is no fear in love. Knowing that God has completely redeemed me, God has completely removed my past, God has completely removed everything that would be a Satan-inspired, death-inspired, sin-inspired, you know, depression-inspired. God's removed all that from me, and His love has completely and totally set me free, that because of that, and when I get an understanding of it, His love, listen, check this out, will cast out the fear. So my job, we're talking about fear for a moment. My job, your job, isn't to cast out fear. Amen. Christians are going around like, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I cast out fear in the name of Jesus. It's not my job. Love does the casting out of fear. So what's my job? My job is to believe in the love of God. Go back to verse 16 for a moment. Look at this. We have known and believed the love that God has for us. You know, when Jesus was saying, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, that whole context was about, and I've said this before, but it was about His provision for your life. He's trying to get you to focus on a Father who provides for you. He says, look, the birds, do they have jobs? No. Do they have barns? Do they have storehouses? No. And your Father feeds them and takes care of them every single day. Have you ever seen a bird, a mama bird and a daddy bird, with their little bitty bird saying, okay, I just don't know where we're going to find any worms today. I just don't know where. There's a shortage of worms. There's a famine in the land. Here, I've got a whole worm. We're going to split it up amongst each other because we don't know when we'll ever find another worm. Do you see birds worried about what's going on in their life? No. They have this confidence that they're going to find a worm that they need to eat. They have an inbred trust in who God's created them to be. And their father and their provider. And he's trying to do the same thing. Go back, pull that verse back up. We have known and believed. He's trying to get us to believe the love that God has for us. And when you really trust in and believe and know that love, then it produces in you a rest, a confidence, a trust in an all-loving, all-caring Father who is already making all provision for you, because Jesus goes on to say, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Go back to verse 18. So there's no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. Fear involves torment. But he who fears, listen here, this is a strong statement, but it's a true statement. He who fears has not been made perfect in love.